And so we know it takes an entire community to lift and run this church, and that's the way it's meant to be. And yeah. So thank you to all of our volunteers who sacrifice to be a part of what we do here. We couldn't do any of this without you.
It's
so
true, because a lot of these events, you know, you see, I said, what, 51 people out there with red shirts helping out and doing stuff, but yeah. Almost none of those is at their only way that they serve. They did set up that morning. They're in kids that day, you know, so many ways, and we recognize that, and we thank you all for that.
Yeah.
You know, another one of these events we've done is we did our third annual Belmont extravaganza, or egg hunt. And, you know, just thinking about these two events, something you should know is how little Ryan and I are involved, I guess is the way to say that. We'll show up and people say, oh, this is incredible. And we say, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do stuff.
Yeah. Behind the curtain. No, but really, Christy Frontiera, she is just so good at planning some of these massive events. And so, yeah, we definitely thank her for that. But the extravaganza had 23 volunteers and 415 people come out for that. It is a really fun event. It's a blitz. It's like 1 hour and then done. That 415 people come in. And, you know, I was on the team of volunteers who were literally trying to hold back the kids from the grass. We're going to have Jeff bring in the SWAT team next year to help with that. Yeah. Riot police with the kids. But that is just such a fun event that so many of you have helped. And, you know, one thing I love when I think about both of those is when we see people who are either empty nesters or don't have kids yet who are a part of these family events still. Mm-hmm. Because even though they say, well, it's a kids event and I'm not bringing kids, they say, well, there's also a ministry opportunity for me to get to serve this neighborhood and help create a hospitable environment for someone to come into. And so that helps make it.
Yeah.
Also, this past year, we did a communication seminar. If you've been a part of the church for a while, you've done the communication workshop with us probably. It is a very, very powerful curriculum. I always openly say that it is the single greatest thing that has benefited me and my wife Sarah's marriage is this curriculum that we work through. And Jim and Sue Birmingham have moved away, but they started this. They brought this curriculum to us and recommended it. They've been living it their whole lives. And they taught this for us, and we've always done it in an 8-week format. And they said, hey, let's do it in one weekend. And I was very nervous and hesitant of saying, well, that's like 8-9 hours in a weekend. But they said, hey, we want to try it. And there's a great turnout. About 25 people came to that. Yeah. And can you raise your hand if you've gone through the communication workshop or seminar? This is just a major piece of who we are. As we do care about healthy relationships and healthy marriages and healthy families.
I'm sure we can get them back to do it again.
Oh, yeah, fly them out there for the seminar, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. We started through a process of asking our church and Nick Frontiera. Wow, you Frontieras are all over the place. And so Nick really helped lead a focus group of people from all ranges in our church and just asking, what does our church need? And what are we doing well? And what are we not doing so well in? And out of that came a few things we'll talk about today, but one of them was this thing we call the launch class. And it was an idea of like, I love what we do, I feel what we do, but what exactly do we do? Can you put it on paper? Can we clarify at least the vision or who we are and then ultimately what every single person can experience here and give us a little bit more focus? And that helped us a lot. And so what we did is we started these launch classes, and we have had, I mean, I was really surprised by this. We had about 60 people plus really attend the launch classes and go through them, and then myself and Christy lead them, and we've had 88% of those who've attended are now active in the ministry volunteering. And it's just that next step of like, okay, I know who Sound House is. I know what we're about. I know what we believe in. And it's an opportunity to ask more questions or even kind of get to know others within the launch class. And it's been hugely valuable for us. We do those on second Sundays after everybody eats. Then we go and do our launch class.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't done that, we would love to encourage you. If you're just curious about what our church is about, that is the place to go find all that.
Yeah. And like Ryan said, those are the tail end of the second Sundays. Second Sundays is another thing that we started this past year, and it's one of those ministries or programs that we start and say, why have we not been doing this this whole time? Mm-hmm. And to those of you who enjoy free food, you're saying yes, amen. But even to a lot of new visitors who happen to show up on a second Sunday, they'll tell us after, like, hey, this was such a great idea. Because the 30 seconds at the donut table is a hi, good morning, whatever, you know, greet someone next to you at the end of worship. But sitting and sharing a meal together is such a different opportunity to actually get connected and to meet people in the church. And so, yeah, those have been incredible. We've done 12 of those, and those have been put on by so many volunteers who have paid for some, who have cooked for some, and just created this opportunity to where it's not just a program on stage. It is a community of believers who are experiencing some life together as we eat some food.
Yeah, and we also, one of the things that we learned through our focus group is we really wanted to get our branding down well, and we wanted to kind of be a little bit more clear. So when you jump on our website or you jump on our app or anything that we're doing on social media, that's very much in line with the communication of the church. And so we relaunched a website. If you haven't been on it, it's a great resource just to kind of see what's going on, and you can go on, listen to messages, you can go on, get resources, you can give from there. But also, we started to identify what would be over here our core values. And is that more Frontieras? Oh my gosh, that's on the cover of the website. I don't know. What's happening?
We're moving in.
I shouldn't have brought you up here. But the amazing thing is that, you know, we wanted to make sure we're communicating the heart and the feel of our church, and I think it does it so well in that process. So yeah, we're excited about that too. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is me too.
Yeah.
Well, one of the cutest pictures I'm going to put up today is up here. We do our annual Father's Day, and we know that Father's Day traditionally is the lowest attended service in church, and so we just thought, okay, well, and Mother's Day is the highest attended service.
Yeah.
Our third is largest
service.
Father's
Day is just like, it's my day, please let me sleep
in. Yeah, yeah. It is.
Ryan, just curious, cutest picture. I'm assuming you're talking about Chad Hoffines.
That's what I was. I was talking about Chad Hoffines. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's such an adorable guy. And so, what we decided to do is do a car show. People from our church bring their cars that they're passionate about, or friends, and it's a good way to bring people to the church and just kind of experience our church atmosphere. We bring out food. We it's a whole kind of deal. And that actually has become one of our larger attended services.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really cool to experience that. And so we will do this again this year. So. Yeah.
We dedicated 12 babies this past year. That's exciting. I did what I could.
You contributed.
Ryan says, Chad, grow the church. And I said, well, I know one way how. So, yeah. But yeah, no, that is such a special moment. Having had 12 babies.
We did.
A couple pictures there. Such a special moment. And, you know, one thing I love about that is if you look around the auditorium on that Sunday, it is really families getting to celebrate this new life.
Yeah.
There are always grandparents and aunts and uncles who are here, who are part of that and getting to see this moment with the kids up there.
Yeah. Oh, look who I see in the corner over here. You see that? Who is in the far corner? That's Chad's little babe, little Zoe. Your family and I got together and we really needed this question to be answered.
You're talking to the wrong person. I'm on board.
Where's Sarah? Oh, I thought we couldn't pass without just seeing her just a little closer. Yeah. And maybe three of you children.
We
could do this three times, Chad. Rob, I'll collect my money later.
Yeah.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we did our Easter. One of the things that we really celebrate here is baptism. And so we left the bay there where we would baptize because it was cold and rocky, and although very fun, and we may go back and do that occasionally, but we decided to start doing baptisms here to make it a part of our our worship celebration. Baptism, you know, we say this phrase, and I think Chad introduced it to our church, which is, you know, it's an outward sign of an inward grace that's taking place, and it's proclaiming publicly to your church family that you have accepted Christ and you're walking into a new life. And it's this beautiful picture, like we'll do with communion, where it symbolizes a death that was there and now has risen to life. And so
that was St. Augustine, for those who know that. That was not, I can't take credit for that one.
I quote you like that. Yeah. Chad said. And so You know, so we saw seven people baptized, and it's this honestly my one of my favorite, if not the favorite, services that we do here. And so another thing too, if you have not been baptized and you're looking to do that, just let us know. And even if you're by yourself or another person, it's something that's so valuable. It's, the whole process is worth it to celebrate that with you. And so, and then Easter this last year, we had 323 people on campus at our Easter service. I mean, we were kind of like bursting at the seams, and it was such a cool experience. Our worship team does an amazing job. Our decorating team does an amazing job just to kind of bring the whole experience together. And it is a massive outreach service to us where we can present the gospel, we can invite people to know Christ, and those are, that is our biggest service, and it's kind of like the kickoff to the whole year for us, I feel like. Yeah. And so it's a massive celebration. It's been really cool to have those.
Absolutely. And followed by our next biggest service would be kind of our bookend, which would be Christmas Eve service, which I know a lot of you are at. Such a special service. It's the one service we do a year that is a family service. So we have kids be a part of the service with the families, with the parents, and we keep the message short for the kids. And just more music and all that. But same thing, it's such a special moment. You get to have the band just put on such a special piece. That we always had strings. This year we had strings, a little orchestra pit down there. That was a good decision. And also we get to do the candlelit service, which is just always special. Although I heard that someone lost a little bit of hair during the candlelit service. We heard about that. Yeah.
Wow.
Today. I don't know how no one smelt that, but apparently little Sophie's hair caught on fire. So, but she's doing good.
Chad, you're not supposed to share that stuff publicly.
I know.
You know, it's cool. It is a cool thing because, you know, you put 250 people in the room with fire, and that's an awesome, awesome thing. It is. It's every one of those. Our Easter service, our Christmas service, and really even Mother's Day as well is one of our is our third largest service.
Oh, yeah.
That we have been growing every single year, and it's been a cool testimony to see what people in our church are feeling with themselves, inviting people to our church and saying, you should experience what's going on here. We did, in our worship department, they've been working so hard and doing new things. I'll highlight just two of them that they've done. Some of you don't know about, but we decided, and it was brought to us by one of our elders and one of our security guys, and they just said, man, would you consider doing, you know, this, the Belmont Shore Christmas Parade? And we're like, sure. And it's thousands and thousands of people down there. And I was a little nervous of like a float. I don't know. I picture floats being like, you know, a whole big piece and, you know, Santa and throwing candy and then marching bands. And that was all around us, but we got to do it Soundhouse's way. Hmm. So we left it up to our worship team and said, how do you want to do it? And some of our team that was up here today was a part of this. And
actually, all of our team was up here today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah. That was That's our float band yeah. you just heard. Yeah. And it was really cool because, you know, we got to sit on the float and just
Practice
wave.
Our...
And yeah, we were very like, you know,
Yeah.
Merrily, you know.
And we had about a dozen of the young adults in the church who decided to hop on. That was pretty fun. They just used that as a free Uber to get back. Yeah.
That's fun. And it was just a cool thing. And we had people who came to the church after that and said, I saw that float that you guys had. And they did an amazing job. And that's something we want to continue to do and do it even just and tweak it and refine it.
We actually had three people the next Sunday who said they and I don't know if you're in here right now, but three people the next Sunday who said they've lived in this neighborhood whole lives and did not know that Soundhouse was here until they saw the float.
Yeah.
And then they looked it up and like, oh, it's at Rogers. So,
yeah, it was a really cool way to really increase our imprint and our footprint in the neighborhood. And then we also had our very first worship night. And it was an amazing, it was in a backyard. It was beautifully done. All of our team kind of came together and they rotated in and out in songs. It was like, I didn't even know what the plan was. I was just watching it kind of unfold. It was really, really, really cool. And, you know, we had about 80 to 90 people come out, bring your lawn chairs, bring your kids, eat food, and, of course, eating food, and then relaxing.
It's one of
our
core values.
Yeah, it is a core value. And so we have to continually reinforce that. And it was amazing that just watching our church experience and watching our team. And so we look forward to doing that again next year.
Absolutely. Just internally, that Ryan and I two or three times on that night went over to each other and said, Jess is leading so strong.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Jess, are you back in here? But yeah, there she is. Yeah.
Well, look at you, lady.
From that Sunday, our worship team has been different, and you have been a greater leader from that one Sunday. It was a pivoting point, and so cool to see.
Yeah, and our worship team was having fun, and everyone was enjoying it. And so, and another thing too is if you haven't participated in this yet, you really ought to consider it, because we do a really amazing VBS. And so we had 24 kids at our VBS, and these little kiddos were there, and it was a really cool. Oh. There they are, a really cool experience, because some of those kids, friends of our church just invited them, and they were a part of it, and we got to meet their parents and get to know them, and it's an amazing experience, 3-day experience where they get to do learn Bible lessons, make crafts, play in the water, and it's like the greatest like experience you can have as a kid. And
so many volunteers who helped put that on too.
For sure.
And I know sometimes it's super hot and you're in the sun 3 days in a row and all of that, but I've gone to help tear down, and everyone's still smiling, and everyone's enjoying it. And so thank you so much to all the volunteers who put that on.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we started our youth department with a middle school ministry, and this past year, we added a high school ministry. That has been the leading of Dominic Jackson, our youth pastor. And we always tell him that, we have a lot of youth ministry experience, and yet I've never started a group from nothing. And when he came in, we had no youth program, and I could name like 3 middle schoolers total. And that later that year, he took 18 to winter camp. So he has been the absolute perfect person to help launch the youth ministry, as he is so relational and has established that with all the kids. And this past year, adding the high school ministry. So a high school is averaging about 5 high schoolers a week. And then, as I said, last year at winter camp, we had 18 students. And this year, parents, winter camp is February 14th through 17th. And I know signups are currently open. So definitely consider that.
Yeah, and one of the things that we implemented years ago here at Sound House is to be a church that's not just a church unto itself. And we believe in partnership. We believe in connecting with other churches. We believe in supporting other churches and church plants. And so our belief is that one of the greatest things that can happen in a neighborhood, in a community, and I just say that because I feel that's what's happening here, is that we can help support a church planter. And in the beginning, we were nervous approaching the.
I was nervous. Ryan was excited about this idea. I was doing the bookkeeping at the time, looking at the numbers, thinking like, okay, sorry, so we're we're giving away the money.
Not how business usually works, but it was a really big step of faith for us to do, and it's been really amazing the fruit that has come from that. And we've had, this year we had 3 speakers come through that we supported their work and ministry, and just really getting behind who they are. I don't even know how many Fifth Sundays, I should have looked at this number before we started, but we've given,
over
every
a dozen
year,
since
we
years,
give,
yeah.
Our church gives well over $12,000 plus a year to different church plants. And what that does is, it's kind of interesting because they're in money raising mode, right? Usually, but coming here, they don't really get this unique experience, which is they get to share with our congregation, they get to share their vision, they get to inform our church about another church plant and be connected in that way. We've had lots of people from our church even send thank yous, write an email, subscribe to their newsletter, or even go to a church launch. And that's how the body is supposed to be, I don't know what part of the body is, of the body of Christ Sound House is. Maybe we're the pinky. I don't know, but we're supposed to work together. And I think that a lot of times bodies think of themselves as the whole thing, but we're all working together to accomplish what God's plan is. And so we're really excited about this next year and what God's doing in the city of Long Beach and around the area.
Yeah. And that is so rare. Usually whenever the pastors come in and they're teaching the leadership from stage or after dust, let's say churches don't do this, especially churches our size. There are church planting networks who do this, but then they get a percentage of that church's tithing for the rest of their church's life, whatever. And there are church denominations that will do this, but same thing, this is expanding that denomination. Very few churches in the U.S. and in the world will do this and just say, this is just to bless you and go. And we had a few churches who actually did that for us when we were starting, that randomly just sent us a donation and that blew us away. Because like I said, we were an independent church. There was no denomination backing us. There was no organization backing us. It was just a lot of the people in this room and seeing a church who didn't feel threatened, but saw the vision of that. And so we always tell those church planners as well how much of a blessing it is to us and to our church body that we do this, because this curbs that fight of competition that you see between churches. This forces us to not just say like, oh yeah, the global kingdom, but physically go fund that global kingdom. Mm-hmm. That is challenging, even when the churches that are, we've had churches that are walking distance away, and we're saying, you know, that's where they're going to plant, and we're saying, yeah, we will support you, because that's what our call is. Also, that, just so you guys know, that Fifth Sunday initiative goes so much more beyond Fifth Sunday and the financial giving. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. In 1 week, we had one previous Fifth Sunday speaker who came in, and they had been paying $500 a month for an organization to do their bookkeeping. And we said, oh, hey, let us just train you for that for free so you can do it yourself, to be saving that money. And so one day we were training this pastor to do his own books. And then 2 days later, another pastor, actually Teddy on the far right, he came in, and they've started their preview services, and he said their setup teardown was just a mess and piles of stuff everywhere. And I said, hey, we were that in the beginning. Yeah. And started talking about different ways that we can help them with their setup and teardown and logistics, and trying to get things a little bit smoother. And then I mentioned this to our audio intern, Ben, but he even said, yeah, we're looking for someone to run audio. And I was like, well, we got a guy graduating from our audio internship in like a month. If you want to, I'll connect you with him. And some people we can help with worship and all of that. Another church planner who they were doing a night service, and they're kind of struggling to find musicians. And we said, hey, we night service, we're at 10. Like, we can, you know, let you know any volunteer musicians who want to go help out. And so it is a commitment that goes beyond that Fifth Sunday, just to sharing resources.
And we have a fund that we have kind of set aside for continued help for these church planners. We've had church planners who are in a tough situation in their marriage, and we've paid for the first couple sessions to get introduced into marriage therapy.
Yeah.
And it's just something that we're really passionate about. We really care about that, and we really want the stability of the church. You know, we'll do anything to help that church. And there's a lot of stuff you probably don't know that goes on, but we are, as a church and community and us, committed to helping them walk in any way possible through the process, especially after they leave our stage.
Yeah.
We're committed to that.
Which is only possible because all of you have been okay at first. And then
are you okay with that? I don't know. We didn't ask you, but
Because that is time and energy that can be poured back into Soundhouse, that we're saying, okay, no, we'll meet with you and do your books for a couple hours and all that. So that is a sacrifice for the church as well. Besides that, men's ministry was next what we're looking at. So men's ministry, we've done some fun stuff the past couple of years. We did our second annual Man Camp. That was exciting. Man Camp was, if you don't know, I just love going camping. And so I told Ryan, I was like, hey, I got this like really remote, for those of you who drove in, you know it's remote, no water and rough dirt road to get in and all that. Campsite, I love going to. And I was like, can I just open it up to some guys in the church? And I told Ryan, I think we can get 20. I'm not sure, but I think we can get 20. We had 56 guys show up to a place with no water, no power. That was a little bit of a logistical nightmare. And they all signed up in the last like 2 weeks. So that was, but it turned out awesome.
Yeah.
And it's fellowship. It's you know, kind of setting the topic and the theme for that year of men's ministry. And then during the day, everyone's going different places. People were going dirt biking. People were going off-roading in Jeeps and hiking and just all over. I don't like 11 guys rented a boat or something this past year and just went out on a boat. So it's just guys just hanging out together and going to do that. And this year, especially Rick Pierce, just have to thank you. This was 4 days after my daughter was born, so I was a little bit in the doghouse and of trying to get this up, but Rick ran it way better than I could have. So it was incredible.
I don't know about that, Chad. I mean, he's great.
It's not giving too much credit.
Yeah. Cool.
Still gotta fit his head out the door. And then also dirt. We mentioned that as well, but that's been fun. We've done 4 of those. Got our 5th one coming up, and definitely encourage you to look into that. We got this massive tent on the left, which Rick has always offered to help set up. He said permanently volunteer for that. Yeah, it's only like 700 pounds, this thing.
That's awesome, right?
It fits tons of people, and that's just a fun thing. So for any of these events, dirt coming up, whatever, if you're like, oh, I want to go, I don't have trailer, whatever, there's always room in there. And I make the invitation, so I always commit to also being in there so that you know, even if it's cold enough, well, he's in here too, so. Mm-hmm. All right. Women's ministry, next. Women's did some cool stuff that we haven't done yet. They went to a conference, Beth Moore Conference in downtown Long Beach. About 30 people did that, as well as the very first Soundhouse Women's Retreat that was down in Costa Mesa, Newport. But Christy did a great job running that, and love just seeing all the pictures coming out of that. Yeah. And, and that was it. I didn't get to go. So,
yeah, we can't comment too much on this.
No. But, you know, one of my favorite things hearing about that from the retreat is, you know, seeing the sign-up list and seeing so many women who were signing up who I knew were not yet connected to anyone else in that group. Mm-hmm. And I know how, as an introvert, I know how difficult that is to sign up and put yourself out there saying, okay, I'm going to go share in a room with other people and figuring this out or whatever. But I know you come out of that with the resource of community and friends. So thank you for making that investment. Besides that, as I mentioned earlier, we do two different groups in the church, community groups and discipleship groups. Community groups, that's the social one, people's houses at night. We average around 70 people each round across all the groups. And we have about a dozen different hosts who open up their homes throughout the year and do such a great job at that. I was at the Hoffman's group this last time and love it. I was looking at this group. I think we had, you know, a dozen or so people and kids running around. And outside of one person, there was zero connection to each other before that week. Looking at this whole group of people, no one knew each other very well, at least, or socially before that group started meeting. And by the end, just how close everyone was doing the potluck at the end and all of that.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing is just my experience in the group, and sometimes I'm teaching the sermon, sometimes I'm not, is that the continued conversation, the unpacking it practically in your life. And man, I learned so much from our community group that, I mean, honestly, the couple of times when our community group has shared something, I'm like, I wish I had that for my sermon. Yeah. And they're really insightful. They're very, very helpful. And and you do a great job putting those together too.
Thank you. Yeah, and then the discipleship groups are the more of the ones, Bible studies, you might say. We do men's and women's separately for that one. Men's meet at Grounds. We have, on average, with men's and women's, about 35 to 40 people who are doing that. Women's did a couple different studies at the office this past year. But just a great time, and that is just a little more focused, yet at the same time, you know, pretty casual. But I love seeing the conversation develop in an individual. When they start asking questions or when they say, oh, that's similar, it's like what we read 2 weeks ago, this, and you just see them understanding more of the biblical narrative and more comfortable how to read scripture for themselves. I love seeing that. That is,
And this last year, we decided, because when we started the church, we had been about a year and a half without, we have what we call translocal elders, and I had a few advisors in that way, but it just wasn't it wasn't cutting it for our church, and we knew we wanted to move towards stability. And so we walked through a process of identifying elders, and we had selected Mike Peters and Mike Taylor to be elders, and they've served for quite a long time, actually, of just making sure Soundhouse is accountable and stable, and these guys' insight was incredible for a lot of the things that we have done at Soundhouse. And they'll never get the credit, and that I don't think they would care to get the credit, but that they deserve for keeping us on course, keeping me on task, and keeping us in the right direction, asking questions we wouldn't know to ask, big picture stuff. And then we wanted to add more elders to the team, and so we appointed and two incredible people to the team. So Guy King, I think both of you are here, Guy King, and then Dan Park right here, and both people have been a part of our community, I think almost since the very beginning, as were the Taylors and the Peters. And so our team right now is very much shaped out to really, really kind of have a bunch of eyes on what we're doing as a church and also responsibilities as well. And so to our elder team, and there's so much you don't see that they do. They pray for our church. They lead our church. They're always there to offer to help. And they personally have guided myself and Chad so much. And so thank you guys. Thank you. I see everybody here but Mike Taylor. You know, where is he at? You know, I guess he's done. And so, but thank you guys so much. And we appreciate you. Our church appreciates you, all the things you do behind closed doors. And so, and then leading into that with our elders. So those are things that we can celebrate for 2019. So important to look back and take those.
One thing on the elders. Personally, one of my favorite little things about our elders is these are not people who were reaching for positions of power, influence, or anything like that. The humility of these guys is so noteworthy. Mm-hmm. I love, how many times did you ask Dan Park?
Oh, Dan, I've been asking Dan for years, and he kept turning me down, and finally I said, I'm asking one more time, dude.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it's a tremendous amount of humility and all.
Absolutely.
Of these guys. Yeah.
And so one of my favorite things just to acknowledge is that everyone who's on our elders team has been from our setup and teardown team. Mm-hmm. These are not people who were, you know, kind of saying, hey, I want bigger roles, I want bigger roles. These are people who are saying, yes, I'll be there at 7:30 to set up the bounce house, mm-hmm. Which is, it's like 350 pounds. It's a lot. And this is the kind of character that they are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to be an elder, join the setup and teardown team.
It's a qualification.
We want to take just a few minutes before I share just a very brief message, but we want to take a few minutes and just introduce to you what we as an elder team, as a staff, really feel like God is leading us in this direction this year. And what we try to do as a church is not to yank the wheel every year. And next thing you know, we're like, what are we about this year? We just try to really go, okay, we walk through a strategic plan. We really sort out what God's got on our heart, and then we weigh what are we capable of doing as a church, and what are some things we do need to put out to take a risk. And some of it is going to stretch us as a church, and it does every year. A lot of things we listed came from our previous strategic plan. And so that's kind of what we do. We always start these in the fall, and they align with the budget, hopefully, usually, and then we bring them to the elders, anything we're thinking, the elders will bring anything that they're thinking on their hearts, and then we kind of have a vote and we decide, and then we do these things from each objective, which we pick three a year. And what out of that we go, okay, what are some action items that we need to make sure that happen to accomplish that? And so we want to just share very briefly at least these objectives and maybe a few action items that maybe God put some of this on your heart for what we're going to be doing this year. But you're going to start hearing some of this language from this strategic plan all throughout the year. And you'll see us implementing things as we go throughout it. So, but one of the first things that we decided to do was we wanted to develop a visitor retention pathway, because so many people visit our church. Some of you may be new here today. And really, we don't have a really solid way of taking a visitor A, B, C, all through a process of making sure that they're fully equipped and fully resourced to be able to like make the decision to connect into the church. There's a lot of things we can do a lot better that we've realized that we want to take those actions and move forward. And so a few things I'll just have up on the screen here is we want a really full, fully stocked and even staffed new visitor table. And so it's something that we're looking into right now, making sure that we have easy ways for people to get connected, easy ways to sign up, digital sign-up cards, just a pamphlet of information about who Soundhouse is. Because I know when I visit someplace new, I just want to grab the pamphlet, and I usually just like, I don't need the sales pitch. Now, I love giving the sales pitch, but I don't like getting them sometimes. And so I just want to take it, and I'll ask questions later, right? So we're putting that into place, and if it's something that you think, man, I'm friendly, I'm welcoming, I want to make sure somebody feels connected here, let us know. And we also want to really have a good structured flow of connection internally in the church, and even with our volunteers who are connecting with people. What's a system that we can put into play that will actually kind of make its way to a few follow-up steps with each person who visits, finding out their needs of the church and trying to meet those. And then really, ultimately, taking our hospitality team and then really bringing it to another place. And so, and adding more spots, adding more volunteers, and then doing like a little bit of a more training on like exactly what we're looking for as a team. And Bill, connect him. Sorry.
Yeah, and on that, as we will be looking at hospitality as a whole, really, in the church. And this is actually something, John, I see you there, John Michelle. John is someone who's newer to the church, a couple weeks or whatever, and came in and he just had an observation, just had a thought, and brought it to us, and it hit us really, really well. convicted by this, of the significance of hospitality. And it's something that I think we've kind of assumed as a church and not been very proactive in pursuing creating a hospitable environment for visitors to attend. And so we were really looking this year to create a church-wide culture shift to where everyone is thinking about hospitality. Everyone is thinking about, am I making this a place where the way someone is received is consistent with the gospel message we preach? And that's actually, we had in line our winter sermon series, and we said, okay, we're going to put that on hold. And for the next 6 weeks, starting next week, we will be diving into the idea of rediscovering the theological and biblical significance of hospitality. And we've been doing a ton of research on that, and I'm so excited to talk about this next week. It is so much richer than I think, than I assumed. It's not simply be nice to each other. It is something which is ingrained in our theology and in our history. It's a heritage which we all have, a cultural heritage that we want to readopt.
Yeah, and it's just, and before we move on to the next one, nothing against the people from Texas. I love the Texans. But there was this greeting that they had, I didn't realize was a greeting, which was, hi, we should get together sometime. And I'm new in town going, we should. And then I'm like, I never got my call. I never, and then I realized quickly, that's how you greet each other. You just say, oh, we should get together. And that's like, hi. Just like, you know, like, oh, bless your heart means you're an idiot there. So like, there's all these phrases. We just don't want to be a, we should get together sometime type of church. It needs to go beyond that. And so the second thing really fast is we want to develop a spiritual growth plan. And that's really, really important to us, is that we are taking a really hard look at how people enter into our church, really trying to assess kind of where they're at and how they want to grow, and really how we can implement things for them, put them in systems or programs that we already have, or invite them into a process that maybe that they need to start at a certain place. And so we got a lot of things that we're going to be rolling out this year for that.
Absolutely. And one of those things that we're doing is going to be looking at mapping out the spiritual, theological, biblical, and ethical development goals for each area of Christian education that happens at Soundhouse Church. That's a big mouthful. But this is something that I actually had the opportunity to do at my last church within the youth department, is say, okay, every week, every season, we're saying, what do we want to talk about this week? And it's pulling a topic, pulling a story, pulling a lesson. And that's fine. But what we said is, hey, why don't we take a more holistic approach? Look at where should a high schooler be in all those categories. I said biblical, theological, ethical, spiritual, developmentally. Where should a 12th grader going to college, where should they be at all these things? Okay, great. If we want to get them there, where should an 8th grader be? Where should a 6th grader be? And so kind of created these goals for each area, each ministry of the church, of saying your goal is to develop these values, these developments in this student at this time. So we want to do that from preschool through high school. I didn't include nursery in that. I don't know. Is that low expectations? I guess. I'm sorry. Yeah. But really pre through high school, as well as main service, adult ministries, adult ed, men's and women's discipleship groups, community groups, all of that. How can we be more intentional about we're going after these things to help develop a disciple of Christ.
Yeah, and just really quickly, we really are putting in a spiritual, we do a lot of resources. Like every sermon that I write, I have a ton of resources along with it, or even this, or even the message itself, because I have a lot of people will go like, oh, can I have your notes? And we want to begin to get in a way that we can publish these notes along with every sermon. That way you can just have them. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be a lazy note taker, but come on. Well, let's just make this as easy as possible to get the information.
Yeah, and part of that too is we do really prioritize the content at Soundhouse Church on the stage as well as in every ministry. And we put a lot of effort into it. We'll even recruit a lot of effort from people in this church, people outside this church. And what we realized is I don't think that we are capturing and repurposing that content in a responsible way. So we are looking for how this year we want to begin to capture that and make it accessible, whether it's through our website or whatever, to where you can download past community group guides, that you can just look at these passages and discussions as just a personal devotional, a personal Bible study. Our discipleship groups, they're 12-week-long studies of certain books of the Bible. You could just walk through that on your own or as a group if you'd like. So capturing those, we already capture our sermons through audio and through video, but how can we capture the whole of the resources so that even years later, if someone is interested in the topic of integrity, we say we did that this past summer, worship, we did that this past fall, that we can kind of look back at those and people can still access
pull them. The materials. Yeah. And just really quickly, we're going to implement a quarterly class for those who are just starting in some of the foundationals of our faith. And we just recognize that there are a lot of people who have these general questions that really we could answer in a process or in a class, in a quarterly class. We're going to call that our Pathways class. And with that class, we're going to cover a lot of the foundational stuff that we have, just four really key important things that every believer should know. And on top of that, we've had volunteers who have been trained and are willing to, at those classes, to go, hey, I can continue the study on those with you. Through a process of several weeks if they want. And so we're really, really excited about that.
Absolutely. We'll be looking at developing our adult ed classes. Once again, looking at that map of all those developments, how can we also come alongside with adult ed to address some of those through both elder and staff-led classes, as mm-hmm. well as just leader-led classes, looking to do about three throughout the year.
Yeah.
Our last objective that we want to look at today, and it's one that Ryan will kind of share a little bit at the end of, is develop a cohesive plan for Soundhouse Church local, regional, and cross-cultural missions. The number one question we've received for a long time is what are we doing for missions? And up until now, it's two things. One is we've been limited just as a church's capacity and resources, and we made the mistake in the beginning of saying, we're gonna do everything, and we did it all very poorly, to now saying, we're gonna add what we believe we can accomplish well this year in a sustainable way with a leader who's in place. And whenever people have asked about missions, we say, oh yeah, we should do something. Okay, we'll schedule this day here, whatever. But it wasn't a part of a plan which we you know planned on sustaining. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things we're adding this year is a missions program. We're looking at this a couple ways, as we said, local. Two ways locally. The first is with this school. This school is a vessel of serving hundreds of families in this neighborhood. So finding ways to do that, we've been talking with the school already and figuring out some ways that the school would benefit the most from. And we'll get to you those details when we have them, but it could be something as simple as a once a week trash pickup for a couple, you know, two, three volunteers, which will allow their maintenance staff to focus more on the school, like maybe getting the heat on. instead of picking up trash, we've also reached out to them. We've developed our video services over the past 8 months or so, and we've reached out to the band and orchestra teacher, the drama teacher, about saying, hey, what if we were to live stream and record your drama productions, your concerts for you, so that out-of-state grandma can watch, but then at the same time, you'll have this for next year, and they're both very excited about that. We might offer that as well for graduation at the end of the year. So that's for local. The other for local is going to be New Life Beginnings. We've served there before. It's a women and the only family shelter in Long Beach where whole families can come stay. And we'll be doing quarterly work days there, serve days, as you call them. It won't all be physical labor. And we have great leads for that. That's Amanda and Adam Armendariz. Could not have picked a better couple for this. Adam is, you know, both have a heart of gold. Adam could fix anything there. And, you know, when we've gone there in the past, we've done all this physical labor and all the residents, the women, the family, and the kids who are there, they're all usually up in one room trying to stay out of our way. And we said, hey, how about when we go there in the future, we have something that is ministering to the families and to the kids as well. So Adam is going to be leading up the physical side, and Amanda will be leading up the ministry side to, you know, whether it's just crafts or something for the kids or devotional for the moms. And so as a couple, they will be leading that. And we actually have our first one of those is going to be February 29th, and those are 9 a.m. to noon quarterly. Regional, we are developing this one right now. I've been working on this for a couple months, and I've been thinking about it for a couple years. And actually, it came on the tail end of when we sent a team of people to go help in Houston after Hurricane Harvey. I couldn't get over this idea that we live in an area where we have an expected natural disaster every year. It's like August to November, right? Firefighters in here is our wildfire season, where we can expect that somewhere in California there will be a crisis. So we've been asking questions for a couple of years now of saying, how can we be prepared to be able to serve? We've reached out now to every church in Paradise that served as an evacuation center and said, what do you wish you would have had at that time that maybe we can be prepared to serve for the next one? And we're really trying to figure out the details of this because our biggest fear is that we go and we are in the way. which the major organizations have warned us of don't go and be in the way. FEMA is there, you know, don't have, you know, your guys' truck in the way of the semi-truck pulling up kind of thing. So we want to figure out ways to resource churches that are becoming these evacuation centers, or maybe it's going after and looking to do some physical work as far as cleanup, stuff like that. But we'll get more to you on that later this year. And then lastly is cross-culturally. We looked at a couple different options for that, but this is something, serving in a cross-cultural environment is so healthy for our church as well, that you begin to see the global church. We looked at a couple different options, Native American reservations, possibly something farther internationally, and what we decided is Mexico actually makes the most amount of sense, because one of our greatest priorities is sustained relationship. Is not go drop off all this food once, because that is one need, but it's not looking at the spiritual relational need for the residents there, but as well as for us. Is we will be shaped, and that community will be shaped by continued relationship. So we're looking at doing quarterly trips, and of those options, Mexico is the most attainable, because we can do one-day trips, like 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. kind of thing, of going, serving at an orphanage, and come back up. We're working with a couple right now, and we will be choosing one of them soon.
Yeah, you can stay up here, Chad, because we'll need to close the service, and you're going to miss out on this life-changing message I was about ready to speak, because I don't want to keep you too long. But one of the things that we wanted to kind of like, why I wanted to leave an impression following, especially that last objective, is that, you know, I titled the message, it was mission mentality. And a lot of times we think of a missionary as somebody who goes to the Amazon, or someone who's risking their lives, and or someone who is walking the streets shouting, you know what I mean? But that is a very narrow view of a missionary. And my main point I wanted to deliver today is that every believer is a missionary. It's within your DNA of being a believer. It's the call to being a missionary. And I read this awesome quote I really liked, and it was this, is that, you know, if you have to question yourself, especially when you think I'm not called to be a missionary, especially if we begin to redefine it. And I love this. It says, the question is not, am I called? The question for every believer is rather, how am I called? Mm. And I think that's a question only you can answer through prayer and maybe counsel, is how is God calling me to really reflect that missionary heart that God has for me? You know, it's compassion that drives the heart of a missionary. And all of us have that compassionate heart, and all of us know what it looks like, because, by the way, the very first missionary ever in the history of the universe was God. And his heart, Bible says, was driven by compassion and love for his people. And so that really is what is the core foundation of every missionary heart and every believer. Compassion is a massive key. And if you lack it in a way or haven't recognized it, ask God to increase that in your heart, to open your eyes to see. Jesus would often say he saw the crowd and had compassion. And then things changed. And he would say these terms like, the harvest is so plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so compassion is what really drives us to look forward in that way. But reshaping the way we think of a missionary and the way we think calling is to missionary, we need to do away with that. Mm. Right? Those are important callings, but they're specific to them. But all believers are called to do the work of the mission. And then ultimately we know this, is that being a missionary, like feeling like, oh, how am I going to be a missionary? This is like difficult. And all those things are the objectives, those action items, Chad, those are putting yourself in a missionary position.
Yeah.
To go out there and then witness and just be somebody who can just be accessible. People's hearts connect with other people's hearts. And when they see something unusual in someone like they did in Christ, they gravitate to that.
And you know, so just thinking about that real quick, is just, that is something, compassion is something which might feel missionary. Compassion might be something that feels uncomfortable to you, that you've never done before. But I would argue that the heart is a muscle, right? Literally, but also in the fact that the more you exercise that, the more you will find a comfortability and even passion in it.
Yeah.
As we develop these ways, consider one that you might say, okay, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to go and serve at New Life Beginnings. And to see that grow.
This last thing, and I'll read a passage and we'll close, is that the most interesting thing is that I think when you think of yourself as a missionary, is that we think that they have to have like you need to be a scholar, you need to be someone who is ordained by the church to go, because we've really narrowed that view. We kind of think of a missionary as so many different things. You have to be endowed with a great gift to reach the masses or move. But ultimately, I'll give you the one passage that's a qualification for a missionary, and here it is. And here's what I would call the missionary tool belt. And it's Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Put on then, meaning we got to put this on, right? It's not something you're just given. You got to put it on as God's chosen ones, meaning your chosen vessels, his chosen vessels, to be missionaries. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts is one of the tools. Kindness, one of the tools. Humility is one of the tools. Meekness is, and patience. That is the tool belt of a missionary. And so all of us, I believe, have that in our heart as Christ has entered our heart. And really, some of those are fruits of the Spirit. And so you don't have to have the greatest answers, the most brilliant ideas, or the most qualified in any areas. This is the missionary's tool belt. And every believer possesses that. And God's given it to them. One last passage and we'll close. It's in Romans 12. I love it. And it's just maybe to prepare our church as we enter into the 2020 with a missionary mindset. It's just to prepare us for that missionary mentality. And it's Romans 12, 9. It's so good. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And Chad, I'm sure you'll get into this in the future here, is that this last verse is so powerful. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And that is the mindset and mentality of a missionary. So I'd like to close. Chad, would you close us out in prayer? Yeah. And then we'll take communion. And
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look back at the past 6 years, we are humbled and grateful for your provision. There have been so many times where we have come to the end of ourselves, the end of our leadership, the end of our resources, to where we can claim no more responsibility for the church, and yet you provide. So Lord, as we look back, we thank you. We are filled with gratitude. And as we look forward, we continue to rely on your guidance. We continue to rely on the work that you will put before us and the strength to carry out that work. Lord, thank you for the leaders that you have brought into this community and the servants who come and are ready and willing to carry out this vision. Lord, I pray that Soundhouse Church continues to grow in its service to this neighborhood and its impact in people's lives. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is also the first Sunday of the month in which we celebrate the tradition of communion. In Jesus' last week with his disciples, the week where he commissioned them to go and to reach the world, he gave them this as an aspect of reminder that as you go, continue to remind yourselves of the grace that gives you strength. And that's what we do with the body and the blood of Christ. As we take this as one church body, we remind ourselves in the grace which filled us as we go to extend that to others. Feel free at this time to come up on your own and to take communion. You take it back to your seat and have a moment. Maybe as you look at this vision for the church, ask yourself, what is God's vision for your life and how you can be a vessel for his kingdom?